Monster Man, Episode 169, Kushi to Krizmal. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're going to be continuing, almost completing, our journey through the C chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. In today's episode, we're looking at a fairy hound, a big old bird, and a friendly little animal made out of crystals. So let's get started. Our first animal is the Kushi. Now here that's spelled C-O-O-S-H-E-E, which I think is an older kind of anglicization of the spelling. You're more commonly going to find this spelled C-U-S-I-T-H. And the Kushi, literally the hound of the Shi or the fairy hound, is a creature from, in this spelling and this sort of creature seem to be based on Scottish folklore, but similar animals appear in the mythology of different parts of Britain and Ireland. And in many ways, the Kushi has a lot of similarities to various other types of dogs that we talked about in our episode on devil dogs. Specifically, it's similar in some ways to the folkloric black dog that may be an omen of doom, but not always necessarily. It's not necessarily consistent whether it is or isn't. So the Kushi is a large hound, often with kind of exaggeratedly large paws. It's sometimes said to be the size of a young bull or a yearling calf, you know, so exceptionally large for a dog. It's often described as having a braided tail or having its tail like curling up over its back, which is how the Kushi appears in Monster Manual 2. One story about the Kushi is that it will bark 3 times and that when you hear the first bark, you have until the 3rd bark to get to safety. And so this idea that the Kushi's bark is, you know, an omen of doom fits in with some of the other things that we've seen about magical hounds, but also it's a bit similar to the Banshee, where there's a magical sound that is a warning of doom. Monster Manual 2 has tended to interpret the Kushi quite literally. So unlike a lot of other dog-like monsters, like the Hellhound or the Barghest, the Kushi in Monster Manual 2 is a literal dog, is merely a species of very large, oddly colored, or it's not even a species, it's a breed of very large, oddly colored dogs that elves tend. So it's a hound of the fairies in the sense that it belongs to elves. And they use them for dog stuff, guard dogs, hunting, and so on. I noticed here, and something similar came up in a comment from Guy Fullerton, that the Kushi's weight is said to be like 168 pounds and up, which is a very specific measurement, 168 pounds, not 170. Now, this measurement will be familiar to my British listeners because 168 pounds is 12 stone. It weights in Britain are often measured in stone. A stone is a unit of 14 pounds. So 12 times 14 is 168. But obviously, Gary Gygax wasn't British, and I don't know that he cared about this measurement. So my assumption would be that some source on British folklore said that the Kushi was this huge dog that could weigh 12 stone, and he translated that number over. Anyway, Kushi are pretty good. I like the idea that the elf dog is mostly a regular dog, but a little bit strange and different. You know, a different breed. You know, if you want to make a breed of dog different, this can be challenging considering all the different dogs that exist in the real world. A species that encompasses Newfoundlands and pugs is a very diverse species, and that's going to be true for the Kushi. You know, if you want to make it stand out and make it seem like, oh, this isn't a normal dog, but a very strange dog, it has to be really pretty weird in order to be more different from a regular dog than regular dogs are from each other. Overall, I think we can conclude that the Kushi is a good dog. Next up, we have the Crane, comma, Giant. Now, the Crane, comma, Giant is pretty cool. I don't feel like I have a lot to say about how cool it is because basically all of the reasons that I like the Crane, comma, Giant also apply to the Boobry. So the Crane, comma, Giant is a, you know, a big wading bird that steps eerily around the misty marshes and riverbanks of whatever fantasy land. It's another good not in Kansas anymore monster. But other than that, I mean, like a crane, it's not aggressive. If you threaten it, it's going to fly away. I don't know that there's necessarily very much to say for it, although I do like the idea of people being mounted on them. there's an animated feature that is about the Chinese legendary figure Ne Jia. And I think that the Taoist immortal who is Ne Jia's tutor rides around on a giant crane. Certainly it's some kind of a giant bird. I don't recall exactly, but I think it might be a crane. And so you can definitely have someone riding around on it. You can see, you know, whatever, like, aquatic herding culture. Maybe you've got some elf riding around on the back of a giant crane, keeping an eye on their fish stocks or whatever. His lance festooned with colorful pennants. You know, I don't know that there's particularly much to the giant crane, but I think it's a nice evocative image. And finally, we have the chrismal. Now, a chrismal is a crystal animal. It's an inhabitant of the elemental plane of Earth, and it eats crystals, including gemstones that you might have in your possession. And so, if you're wandering around the elemental plane of Earth, these things might come swarming over you trying to eat up your treasure, at which point you're likely to get into a fight. I like the design of the chrismal, which sort of evokes spiders or scorpions without being simply a spider or scorpion made out of crystal. You know how crystal formations can send off sort of longer spikes of crystal? Well, these are the limbs and attacking appendages of the chrismal. It doesn't look specifically like any one animal, but it definitely gives an animalistic appearance, which I think is really good. It's capable of shooting its crystal spike, that is its main attack appendage, but if it does so, then it has shot it, and it can only attack with its other limbs, which do less damage. So I think that's a neat little complication. Like, it's one of those ways in which the chrismal isn't exactly the same round after round, but it doesn't add so much complexity that it becomes a pain to keep track of. I like the idea that the chrismal's movements are slow and jerky because, you know, it's made out of rocks, but at the same time, it has a very high armor class because, again, made out of rocks. It further says that they are the prey of Zorns, which is fine and all, but I definitely like the chrismal and creatures like it more as inhabitants of the elemental plane of Earth than something like a Zorn, because, of course, the chrismal fits in more with the idea that things on the elemental plane of Earth are made out of rock or crystal. And someone's going to write in and tell me that I've forgotten that fact. That's 100% possible. But overall, I think the chrismal helps make the elemental plane of Earth... I was going to say helps make it seem weird and alien. I feel like with the elemental planes, you have to strike a very careful balance. You can't make them too obvious. So, welcome to the elemental plane of Earth. I am Stone Bones. This is Rock Face. Everybody here is just made out of rocks, and we're stolid and grim and determined because that's what rocks are like. And rockety rock, rock, rock. At the same time, I don't know that you want to make it too familiar. Like, welcome to the elemental plane of Earth. It's just like the prime material plane, except things have got gimmicky Earth names. And I think there's a danger of going in another direction with something like the Zorn, which is like, welcome to the elemental plane of Earth, home of gonzo weirdness. All of those things have a place, but you want to strike a balance somewhere in the middle, I feel, where you have some kind of alienness, but something that is alien in a way where the player characters can look at it and say, I get that. And I think the chrismal fulfills that function, right? It can be like, it can come around, scuttling up to your player characters, and the player characters are like, huh, who are these little guys? Oh, they're trying to eat our gems. There must be food to them. Get off me, you little so-and-so. I think that could work out pretty neatly. So, I actually think chrismals are a lot of fun. It's definitely something we've talked before about the idea of creatures that slip through when portals are opened between the different elemental planes and the prime material plane. That came up in the context of the bat, fire. And I think that chrismals would be a fun thing to have in that context as well. Like, you could get a chrismal infestation in areas where portals to the elemental plane of Earth had been opened. So yeah, I think there's maybe more to these little guys than just a nuisance monster, and I really like their design. So, chrismals. Anyway, that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. Please join me next time as we finish up the C chapter of Monster Manual 2 with the Crystal Ooze and the Cyclopskin on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.